You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, my name is Tanya Pinkins, and I'm the host of the podcast You Can't Say That on the Broadway Podcast Network. This fall, I have a special treat for you. In honor of my debut feature film, Red Pill, Marissa Lynn Daniels Studio has been hosting weekly conversations with my fellow Broadway colleagues and co-host Sierra Renee about the red pilling of America. These conversations create a safe space for us to talk about the things that are on our mind with an election and a global pandemic. So join us for the Red Pilling of America, a spotlight series, every Saturday at 5 p.m. or on the Broadway Podcast Network, You Can't Say That, bpn.fm/YCST. Join the conversation. It's our first time meeting. And
yes, it is.
What I love about you is you like me, you like to change your hair. Like, you know.
Oh, yes, I do.
I have this week. And I saw that you are a coach to friends and colleagues of mine and to one of the stars of Red Pill, Adeshola Osaka-Lumi.
Yes, I am. It's such an honor. He's an amazing human being.
So amazing. He came to my film when Harold Perrineau, I was not able to match the schedules of Harold Perrineau and Ruben Blades for the same time. And so I had to choose Ruben Blades, Harold Perrineau, and I chose Ruben. And then I was like, Adeshola, could you come in? And he totally got this character and came in and did it for me. And he's so talented.
He is.
Dancing, acting, singing, just extraordinary.
He really is. And so humble.
And I think I'm going to have to come and study with you. So
you are welcome anytime. It would be my honor.
I was looking at your blog. And first of all, besides just the little offerings of writing, I loved all the images that you find for each of those offerings. Really beautiful images.
Oh, thank you.
Where do you find them?
Actually, I think it's a site called Unsplash, where they photographers can put up their work, and then you just license them and use them, because there's some amazing photographers that use that site.
Well, the art that you have is amazing, and it really uplifts and makes you like, I want to read what she has to say.
Oh, good.
Brings me in to want to see that. So I want to share the newest trailer for my movie today.
With great.
Everybody. So we're going to try to do a screen share and welcome everybody. We're going to share this new trailer. And then we'll have a chat about the world we're living in right now. Here we go.
You is kind. You is smart. You is important. you is dead. Tanya Pinkins' horror film, Red Pill, brings African-American perspective to progressive movement.
We are a majority in this country, and we're going to win the election.
Do you know what the red pill is?
A red pill is someone who infiltrates a group and then destroys them from the inside. This place is spooky.
Some people like to live dangerously.
Gaz, why are you so jumpy tonight?
You know what, guys? I'm gonna go back tomorrow.
Did you hear about the creature woman that attacked a father and son hunting down here?
I don't see the case. This place creeps me out.
I think we should call the sheriff's office.
The only people missing or dead are brown people.
They're after all of us.
What do we do, Amelia?
We die. But we take some of them with us.
So that's our new trailer.
Ooh, that looks, it's going to be incredible.
I love to be scared. It makes me so happy. Adrenaline rush, the tension and the release of that. Do you like scary movies?
I'm not a huge fan of them, but I love the psychological scary. So, yeah.
Well, this is definitely psychological scary, but I like jump scares a lot. I actually do like jump scares, but you know, for the genre, you got to give some, you got to give a little more. I don't like slashers.
No.
We don't have a lot of that, but we give you some scary. We give you some scary, which is kind of, I think for a lot of people, the world we're living in right now is very scary.
Yes. And they say that people who enjoy the scary movies actually balance out more during a time like this.
Really?
Yeah. I just read that recently in an article. I can't remember where it was exactly, but yeah, that people that kind of move into more of a horror genre and can really find more emotional balance in a time like this.
Well, I was in this class that said that when we dream at night and we have what we might call nightmares, what that is the body releasing that energy. And I watch horror movies before I go to sleep. So I don't ever really remember any dreams. So I think I must do my releasing before I go to sleep.
Or release and then let go of the remember while you're releasing it. That's all right.
There was a quote on your website that said, you're going to know which one I'm talking about sleep is a temple, go and worship or something. What was it? I'm not getting it.
Oh, I can't remember exactly either. But yeah, that sleep finds the temple of release and rest, something like that. Yeah.
Worship. I love it. Very much. I thought you were in Canada, but you tell me you are in the Poconos. What is
it? We are in
that red or blue country.
Oh, it's a little mixture of both. Where we are is sort of an interesting combination because there's a lot of theater and film and TV people that live out here too. So we have a very liberal center and then a lot of red wrapped around it. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I was asking you right before we opened up if you were a witch, and you were talking to me about really trying to tap in. I'd love to talk more about that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I think for me, that's innately part of who I am and who I have always been. You know, since I remember things even as a small child like that, you know, and it's not something that I have formally explored, but done a lot of reading and research and exploration on my own through the years and just, you know, weaving it in and out of what I do, and just, you know, tapping into that emotional and psychic energy, you know.
Example of it.
It's interesting because sometimes it does happen in dreams. Many of my singers that I work with, I have dreams about, specific things of them getting jobs, or I see them in a certain color on stage. You know, those kinds of things can be fascinating. Those are interesting little tidbits of things I sometimes see.
I sense—I'm not saying I'm accurate, but I sense that you feel a little like it might be frivolous. But I'm quite serious about it, and it is almost a practice and a discipline for me. This film, Red Pill, came to me in a kind of a vision. I had never made a movie before, and it's the hardest, most exciting, thrilling thing I've ever done. But literally, last July, I was having a conversation with a friend, Kim Sykes, and she said something, and I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. And then over the next week, these images started coming together, and I was Canva, and I was putting all these images together, and then all of a sudden this flash of like, oh, this is what, it didn't feel like this is what's going to be, but it felt like this is the story you're supposed to tell. And at the time when I was fundraising and people would read the script and they would be like, that's such a far-fetched ending. And now that ending is a reality. No, I'm not a fortune teller, but that tapping in where sometimes something is just revealed to you, like it's available there. I was reading about a Peter Torchin guy who they say predicted this moment we're living right now.
When I first read about this movie, just and it was just like snippets of things, my sense of it was that you really did tap in, and it tapped into like a, you formalized a time that was present and future and past. That was the sense of it as I just read. Mm-hmm. And it just, every time I would see something come up, even on social media, I would just get goosebumps. There's something very, very primordial about it.
Witchy about it. And so I try to just stay out of the way. People are like, when is it going to come out? And I'm like, I don't know. It's going to come out when it's supposed to, because I had planned, my plan had been for it to come out in March. And had it come out COVID, it would have been easily dismissed.
Yes.
Far-fetched. And now it is just going to be, yes, this is what we are living. And someone said to me today, people are going to think you just, you know, added that in at the last minute or something like that.
Nope.
Now, you teach some of the finest, you know, Lilias White, and for her to trust you, I have to go, I have to bow down, because if Lilias is one of the finest things, she thinks this woman is good. I got to, you know, what... even listen and, you know, tell me, what is it? You clearly got some magic.
I would hope there is, but the magic happens between, right? I think my job always, or my calling, is to reflect who stands before me so that the artist that stands in front of me gets to get a sense of how they can be seen. And then we trust that space. I mean, when I started to teach, one of my big things was I did not want to be taught. I did not want to teach the way I had been taught. Mm-hmm. And that's not from every teacher, because I've had some fabulous teachers. But especially in the singing world, often there is that my way or the highway. You must do as I tell you. You must make sure that you have permission from me to do anything, you know, all of that kind of craziness. And anything like that, any sense of being beholden to someone, I did not want to bring that into the energy in the studio. So my goal always was to create a collaborative space where an artist could come in and explore and feel safe doing that, and begin to discover what could be, and then how they can take that into the industry and start, you know, cracking ceilings and walls and be seen as the artist, as a type, right?
Yeah, you radiate a wonderful warmth. You're Canadian, right?
I am.
And how long have you been down here in the South?
Off and on since 1990.
Now,
And yeah.
I learned this week from this academic who out of Cornell, Kate Mann. She was saying that white women marry outside of their race less than any other group on the planet. And also they support and vote for fascist leaders more than any other group. So tell me how you got to be, you're in an interracial relationship. How'd that happen? And what was the backlash?
You know what? Interesting. I mean, there could have been backlash elsewhere. There certainly wasn't in our circles, you know, in our families whatsoever. We met in Canada. He was singing in Canada. And I always say, you know, his soul saw my soul and my soul saw his soul. And then we just figured it out and we're still trying to figure it out, you know.
Is it hard?
It is. Not between us. It's observing because I would never say I understand because I'm not in that skin, but I watch it every day, you know? And so every day I'm learning more in how to support, you know, how to ask the right questions, to learn how to be, the kind of person and spirit that needs to be there in support of that. Because interestingly, you know, it has seemed to have gotten worse, not better, you know? And, you know, Thomas is a magnificent tenor, but he was in the Marine Corps at a very young age. Yeah, he was in Vietnam. And so, you know, he's got a very interesting trajectory in his life as well, you know, as a warrior and an artist. So, as a feminine energy in that and balancing that, you know, we are in interesting times all the time, you know? Yeah. He and I do not have, I have a daughter. Yeah. Who's in the business too. And she and her husband are in the Heights. Okay. Yeah. So.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So I got to ask you this. You said you're in this liberal bubble. I keep wondering, this is just a question I have. I don't have an answer for this. But I sometimes think, you know, if 55% of voting age white women voted for the man in the office.
Ugh, I know.
So every time I see two white women, one of them and part of the other one voted for Trump. Do you sense that your white women friends are just not telling you the truth?
My white women friends are telling me the truth. Okay. The ones that are in my closest bubble, absolutely. I see with white women that if they are, I mean, again, it's like an old paradigm. If their husband voted for that man, the tendency is that they do as well.
Why?
I don't know, Tanya. I wish I knew. I think sometimes I want to know. You know, I cannot fathom how twisted your moral compass must have to become in order to say that that's okay. Right? Like, I just don't understand that.
I need you to go find out because they're not going to tell me, Susan.
I know.
connected to me to speak that truth or be vulnerable or be open to change for me, you got to go do that ministry.
I know. I'm trying. They just make me mad. Then they see me coming and they don't want to talk to me either. Oh, Lord. I really don't understand it at all. I mean, I can see a more conservative mindset seems in some instances to be more protected, but this isn't even conservative anymore.
Right.
You know, this is cult-like, really. Is it? I mean, it is. So what happens to a psyche to then just turn? You know, I mean, remember when Howard Dean just went yeehaw and that was the end of his race?
Mm-hmm.
That's all it took. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time we saw the next thing with this abomination, we thought, okay, they can't get any worse. It's got, right?
Well, I'm going to say this. I think that that man is a master magician, metaphysician.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is what is needed in this moment for us. That, you know, people keep talking about the age of the Aquarius, and Aleister Crowley talked about the new aeon. And he has brought about something. He has been a reflection of our world for us. And that has been important. And I try to work with my shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Embracing my shadow. And one day my discipline was embracing my inner tyrant and really just moving into, if I was a tyrant, what could I? And just being in that energy, like a toddler having a thing, you know, in my bedroom, just, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it was a new perspective. I was like, oh, he's having the time of his life. This is not about evil. This is so much fun. He is king of the world. He can knock down all the blocks and other people have to pick him back up and he can knock him down again. And it doesn't get any better than this. And who would walk away from that with ease? Now, I'm not saying I think that's good, but I'm saying as an artist, if I had to play the role, that's the space that I'd come to in playing the role, that this is the shadow in full expression.
Yeah, I agree. That makes total sense. And then that combination of creating your own reality, right? And then, you know, that whole idea of reality show, it's like we're living inside his twisted mind reality show because he's been allowed to create it.
Yes.
And people, you know,
and they hold the space for it.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, we all are holding up this reality together. So how are we going to hold a new one?
I don't know. Do we just burn it down and start over again?
Work.
Let me ask Susan, am I allowed to share a theory about the white women of why they vote for Trump?
Please.
Yeah, because I don't want to, Susan, are you okay with that? Because I don't want to.
Oh, this is Tanya's space. You
go for it. Okay.
Welcome. So I've had a crazy theory, and it might not be crazy.
Tell us your name, though, because some people can't see you. This will be on my podcast. You have to make sure you give us permission to put this on my podcast.
Oh, okay. You've got my permission.
Okay, so Cindy.
So, Cindy. We'll leave it at Cindy. So here's kind of this crazy theory is that I've been reading lots of books on trauma, right? And intergenerational trauma. And if you actually think about it, 100 years ago, women were not out working. Women were basically slaves to their men. They got married and they have to, right? So if we are carrying, and again, this is not making an excuse, but if we have unclear trauma from our own lifetime or the centuries of women being abused and basically servants to men, if that's unclear, it goes back to, I believe, what you said, Tanya. If that trauma hasn't been cleared, I think it goes back to you, Tanya. What you said earlier is that they feel like they can't say anything to their husbands, for example. But I also think it's also the identifier with the abuser, right? So people who have been abused and have not cleared that trauma, and again, it's just because I've been reading about this for years, until they clear the trauma, there is a group of people who just want to be loved and approved by their abuser because they think that it will shield them in some way. If they're nice to their abuser and they try to please their abuser, maybe he'll stop.
So Stockholm syndrome. You're talking about Stockholm syndrome and trauma bonding.
Okay, there you go. I didn't know what to leave. So that's just a theory. I think that might be one or two of the reasons. Like, I even think about it. Like, even in my own family, my sisters and I are the first in our family to get educated and work as women. Like, it's still pretty new for a lot of us to be in our power as women and be able to have choice and be able to not be subservient.
How did your sisters vote? How did you and your sisters vote?
I'm Canadian. I'm here on a green card. Okay. If I was allowed to vote, it would have been blue. My sisters in Canada would be all blue.
Sure.
Pardon?
Are you sure?
Oh, 100%.
And your mom?
Oh, don't even get her started on him. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they haven't worked through a lot of their trauma like I have. So, but they're 100% on board. But I also think Canadians are a different culture. And I didn't realize how radically different our cultures were until I moved here. And I still remember moving to South Central LA and people were like, you can't move there. I'm like, why? They're like, you're white. I'm like, they're just people. Like, I don't get it. Like, it's so weird to me. But yeah, I learned pretty hard in the first 2 weeks of being an immigrant here of stuff. Anyways, I've said my piece, but I think that those could be big pieces and that women have to continue to work through the intergenerational trauma so that we could really hold our power in masses.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me have a voice.
Sure. What do you think about that, Susan?
I'm sure a lot of this idea of trauma and intergenerational trauma, absolutely, because we see it everywhere. It's not just white women. Come on. as women, the fact that I can identify as white allows me a lot more privilege and entitlement, and we need to recognize that as white women, and in doing so, then if we can then know that there might be trauma, then if we recognize that intellectually, then we have to do something about that.
How does trauma express in the singing voice?
Oh, it can come through so many different ways. Self-sabotage is a big one, where all of a sudden, you can do something in one space and then make excuses that it can't happen in another space. Writing the script before it happens, that can be a really big one. Oftentimes I find, again, trauma can live in the body in different places. And so it often will sabotage the breath.
I think that's mine.
And then where you hold that in the body, right? So, if you're going through all of your energy centers, will the breath move through certain spots? I think a big place where a lot of us hold that is at the solar plexus. At the gut reaction spot where, we are often, as women in a totality within a Western civilization, especially, made to feel that we have to either apologize, check to see if it's okay, and then we grip there and hold that.
When I was more comfortable in my singing voice, when I first started off, people used to say they marveled at my singing because I never seemed to breathe. And then I learned to breathe, but I could never sing the same anymore. What's that? I don't even know what that is.
I think breath is the magic. Breath is truly the magic. That is what will release and carry anything you have to say. And so sometimes that breath is in some type of motion. And if anything changes the trajectory, that can throw the response off.
What came to me as you were saying that was that maybe in my sort of traumatized gripping, there was a will that could make things and I could control it and I'm strong-willed and I could make it happen. And then as I learned to breathe, the breathing, I don't have control over that. And that's going to hit some shit that might happen. And now I can't, because I don't have control anymore.
Yeah. Because I think as actors too, it's just with the singing voice, everything is extended, right? So we're dealing in intangibles, breath, we can't see, vibration, we can't see, in musculature, we can't see. And so the idea then is if we can learn how to create a tangibility in those intangibles, how do you sense that on any level of consciousness, physically, metaphorically, learning how you learn, you know?
I got to ask how you do that, because I've been listening to you and other singers talk about how you can't hear your own voice. And I'm like, well, I'm hearing all the time. What do you mean I can't hear my voice? So if I can't even hear my voice, how are we going to make these intangibles tangible? And I think this is analogous to this trauma that, you know, those voters are not aware of too. So how do we make the intangibles? Let's keep it in voice. We'll use it as...
It's learning how to literally feel, physically feel, emotionally feel, to stay present. And so you're feeling the traveling of that energy. Because you will hear yourself, but you don't hear yourself in the same way. I mean, you know, from a scientific acoustic, like this is always the brain blow for me, because you hear your own voice as a reverb with soft tissue, you get a delay.
Oh.
And everyone else who hears you through air, which carries it to their ear without delay. So I literally hear you before you hear yourself. I mean, it's millisecond, obviously, right? But that's why so often, you know, until you get used to what you sound like, when you hear yourself speaking or singing on recording, the first time you ever hear yourself, it's like, that's me? Really?
I want to be crazy here. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I never could do singing as a cabaret kind of singing. I did never want to sing unless I was a character. Hmm. Like, that was my protection. Hmm. And if everything is me, I didn't want to do it. Too vulnerable, too naked. I have not sung in forever. Want to play with me? Let's play.
Yeah. You want to sing a little bit?
I'm scared, Susan, but I'm going to risk it.
Hi, this is Tanya Pinkins. That was part one of my conversation with Susan Eichorn Young. Come back to part two of You Can't Say That on the Broadway Podcast Network.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.